The reason of this, that we are here, is about there's something about that name. You could have been somewhere else today, but you choose that name because there's something about that name. The Bible speak, the memory text that was just said, you know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Deep in my heart, I feel like singing another song, but I will do that maybe before I begin this message, but I want to open it with a prayer. Father, there's something about that name, the name Jesus. When you gave the Holy Spirit to the Virgin Mary, you will name him Jesus because he said you will save my people. And that's why the reason there's something special about this name. And it's still special within our time at this moment because it is only him that needs to be praised and glory. That's why we're here to also understand that he has a hope, a plan for you, for his children. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. Bible speaks in Isaiah, I just read it earlier after my announcement, that it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Is God far away? No. I think the reason why God is away is that our heart is far away from him. Thank you for that children's story. Because a renewal of your heart, you will not say profound word. Call on him while he may be found. The title of this message is A New Year's Plea. My plea to you is the Lord has a plan for you and me. 2017 is just hours away to be folded away. 2018 is about to come. And did you ever make a checklist of your New Year's resolution? How many of you have done that so far? Did you ever make a New Year's resolution? Maybe you have decided for the Thanksgiving holiday, for the Christmas feast that you have, you may probably gain a little inch. So you decided to lose weight. For those of you that maybe wants to learn new language so that you can have a dialogue to your neighbor that happened to be, he was a Filipino. Or for those of you that long for significant others, you have that also in your checklist. For those of you, for that new year that will come, a new praise team will have come. Now you may learn to have a voice lesson. How about the good habits? The bad habits that you have this 2017. You put that aside and put a new character in you, a renewal of your heart. Or you clean your garage. I want to take a little bit moment of this, cleaning the garage. Christmas Day, the 25th. Rather than my wife and I went out, we spent more. Since our children are living with us, our children are out. They went out of town, and it was just my wife and myself. And we decided, you know what? Let's continue playing music. But we need to clean the house today. And sure, we did. From morning till sunset, I was cleaning, my wife was cleaning. But the beauty about that I found in that, my friends and friends, is that as Christians, we need to stop at the end of the year and measure our progresses. That as we were cleaning the house, cleaning up, taking out all the stuff inside the closet and so forth, I found it that I thought we were always clean because my wife always busy cleaning every morning. But inside the closet, inside the cupboards, they're filthy. And I found it also that in our outside appearances, throughout the year, we clean them. We put new attire in ourselves, put a new makeup, new hairdo. But inside of us, this filthy. We need to check at the end of the year and measure out our progress. Like business owners are busy at the end of the year taking inventory. Why? This is a painful, that's a lot of work. For those of you that works in a mega companies, Sister Barbara should know this also. It's a painful but necessary reality so that they can know if they made a profit or not. They do inventory. They take the information they receive and make adjustments for the coming year. Whether in an area of Christianity living or in a worldly or in an outside, in a business mode, we need to check and measure up for the climbing. So, the purpose of this is that planning is really important. Planning is really important. And I want to share some planning that what the Bible can teach us. I want to planning for physical necessities. Okay, suppose the thought enters in your mind that you want to build a house. You sit down and make a list of all the materials you think you will need in that project. Then you order them to be delivered to the lot that you are building on. Everything is piled up in the middle of that property, of that lot. And the next day, here comes the bulldozer to excavate the basement. Everything is in the way. It's all just where he has to dig. And what happened? Why this is a failure? He made a wrong plan. Where would he put that? Where did he would put those lumbers and all that, the belongs, the materials? He said, I put them aside. Rather than putting them in the middle where the bulldozer had to bulldoze. Without some basic planning, you probably won't have anything to eat. Did you plan this morning that you have to eat? When you get up in the morning, and without some detailed planning, no one can build a house, isn't it? Let alone a skyscraper, or shopping mall, or city. If producing shelters and food and clothing and transportation is valuable, then planning is valuable. Nothing but the simplest impulses get accomplished without some forethought, which we call a plan. Planning for spiritual necessities. All of us know this and practice it in relation to the basic physical necessities of life. We take steps to see that we have enough to eat and clothes to keep us warm. But do we take our spiritual need that so seriously? Do we apply the same earnest in planning to maximize our ministry, or do we in planning to make a living? What I would like to do here is to try to persuade you to set aside time each week in the coming year to plan, and especially to plan your life of prayer and devotion and in ministry. The bulldozer of God's Spirit often arrives at the scene of our heart, ready to begin some great work of building, and he finds that due to poor planning, there are piles of disordered things in his way. We're not ready for him. The way I hope to motivate you to do this is to give four examples of planning in the Bible. First, some illustration from Proverbs. I think, how many of you have gone through Proverbs? The book of Proverbs. You find such the wisest man ever lived wrote that for our purpose and inspired by the Holy Spirit. Second, First, some illustration from Proverbs. Second, the planning of Apostle Paul. Third, the planning of God. And fourth, the planning of Jesus. Let's look at Proverbs, the illustration in Proverbs. Most of you probably have heard this many times. It says in Proverbs, open your Bible with me, to Proverbs chapter 6, 6 to 7. Are you there? All right. The Bible reads, I'm reading it from the New International Version. It said, go to the ant, ye sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, or ruler. The ant is an example not only because it works so hard, but also because it plans ahead. It takes thought in the summer that there will be need in winter, and his forethoughts provide it needs in winter. Do we ever think that way? That when we see ants, we take them for granted? There's so much to learn from them. They may be small, but yet they even carry more than the size of them. It says, I want to touch on about the sluggard. Oh, sluggard, it says, those few moments of sleep are delicious. We savor them as we resist beginning another work day. Isn't it? I don't want to wake up. I want to sleep more. I don't want to go to work. I don't want to go to school. But once against giving into temptation of what? Laziness. Or be sleeping instead of working. This does not mean we should never rest. God gave the Sabbath a weekday of rest and restitution. But we should not rest when we should be working. The ant is used as an example because it utilizes its energy and resources economically. If laziness turns out from our responsibilities, poverty may soon bar us from the legitimate rest we should enjoy. Look at what a diligent person does. A diligent person reaps abundance through hard work. But a lazy people, meaning, say, experience poverty because of laziness. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. It said, a simple man believes anything, but prudent man gives thought to his steps. The difference between planning and not planning is whether you are going in the future or whether you focus all your attentions on the immediate right in front of you. If you are not a planner, then you will be at the mercy of others who try to give you counsel about how to act now so as to be happy in the future. Do we tend to be that way at some point? That rather than we take the initiative. We let other people control us. So the simple believes everything. The simple believes everything. But the prudent looks where he is going. He considers the days to come and what they are bringing and think about how best to prepare for them and use them to accomplish his purposes. Proverbs 15, chapter 15, verse 22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. It is better, two heads are better than one. You heard that many times at some point. Here, the wisdom of planning is taken for granted, and the writer simply gives us advice for how to make plans that succeed. He says, don't be so independent that you think yourself above counsel. Read the wisdom of others who have gone before you. Talk to experienced and wise people. Watch the way others do things and learn from their mistakes and successes. Be open to new ideas and be willing to weigh their suggestions carefully. Your plans will be stronger and more likely to succeed. Be wise, be prudent, listen. Proverbs 16, verse 3. But this planning we have, it should say, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. It's all about that name, Jesus. It says, again, planning is taken for granted, and the issue is, how can you plan in such a way that what you produce will have abiding value and not just pass away overnight? Answer? It's about that name, committed to the Lord. That is, always seek the Lord's guidance and strength in your planning. Trust his wisdom and not your own. Then your plans will bear fruit that stays. My question is, think of a specific effort for which you are involved right now. Have you ever committed it to the Lord? I leave it that way. Think of something that you are involved right now. Have you committed that to the Lord? Proverbs 24, 27. Excuse me. Finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. Prepare your work outside, get everything ready for you in the field, and after that, build your house. This probably means that it is important to be able to support yourself by the productivity of the field before you establish your own household. Perhaps we would say to young people today, perhaps we should say to young person today, get a job before you get married. Or at least plan how you are going to support the new household you are to establish. Planning, timing is really important. But always about that name that you seek to. Proverbs 31, 15 to 16. She gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servants' girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and tasks for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. I would say I am blessed. To my wife that she put on this area very early, every day, whether it is Saturday, Sunday, even when 8 o'clock, when she said, when 8 o'clock or when the sun is up, my day is over. And she gets up very early to prepare. By the sunrise, she's already folding clothes. I am blessed to have a partner that way. Here's the model of homemaker is a model planner in two ways. She gets up early and assigns tasks to her maids. You cannot assign tasks to your maids. You have no plan about what you would look like. You cannot give the task to your maids if you get up at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning, especially on weekends. The day is gone. And she considers a field and buys it. What does she consider? She considers how it feels, how it will fit into the plan of the household. Conclusion for the Proverbs, but I will touch on about Apostle Paul also. Careful planning is part of what makes a person wise and productive. Not to plan is considered foolish and dangerous. This is true even though the Proverbs teach that we do not know what the future may bring. A man minds his way, but the Lord directs his step. Proverbs 16, verse 9. The fact that the Lord is the ultimate in control of the future does not mean we shouldn't plan. It means we should commit our work to the Lord and trust him to establish our plans according to his loving purposes. The planning for Apostle Paul. We will take just an example of the planning from the many that we could take from Acts and from his letters. Romans 15, 20 to 28. Let's look at that. Romans 20 to 28. And I will just summarize it in this essence. Let's look at it. Romans 20. 15, I'm sorry. It says here, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no more place for me to work in this region, and since I have been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there. After I have enjoyed your company for a while, now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there, for Macedonia to Achaia, were pleased to make contribution to the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jew to share with them the material blessing. So after I have completed this task, I have made sure that they have received this fruit. I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I go to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessings of Christ. I urge you, I'm sorry, I have gone through that. I went ahead. But I mean, the purpose of this is the planning that Paul have in his heart. He says, I made it an ambition. He said, it was i.e., that the plan that he made that will known for the ministry that he has for Jesus. The transformation that he had from he went to Damascus, he had it by the building of Christ that he had in him. He had this plan to make it known to Rome and also to Spain and so forth. He said, here is a typical example of how the Apostle Paul carried out his mission. And I think we should learn from him that planning is essential to a productive ministry. And I mean your personal ministry as well as the more complex organism of church ministry. Paul was the greatest church planter who ever lived. He accomplished more in his life for the spread of the reigns of Christ than any other persons. So I think we would do well to take seriously his method. Part of his method was his planning. He had a general guideline. He wanted to preach where no one had preached before. Then he developed a specific plan for his guidance. He would take the gift to Jerusalem, like we just read. Then he would go to Rome to establish a Western base from which he would then go to Spain. What makes this especially is significant is that, as far as we know, the plan fell through. He was arrested in Jerusalem. He went to Rome as a prisoner and probably never got to Spain. It's just like we saw in the Proverbs. God is the one who finally makes the future. But we plan nevertheless. God uses our planning even if he aborts it. For example, if Paul had not planned to use Rome as a base of operation for a trip to Spain, he probably never would have written the greatest letter the world has ever known, the Epistle to Romans. Planning is crucial in Christian living and Christian ministry, even when God overrules our planning. How many of you enjoyed so much this past quarter, the book of Romans? Very much so. We had just a table conference, panel discussion this morning. It was just a blessing that we had such an understanding that this book of Romans is really an area of how we should be, how we should live as Christians at this present time. The planning of God. The ultimate reason for planning is that God is a God who plans, and we are created in his image to exercise dominion in the earth under his lordship. I don't think it even possible to conceive a God who does not act according to his own eternal planning. That is, a God who has responses to stimulate rather than to deliberate actions that fit into a wise purpose. Let's look at Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Are we all there? It says, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there's no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known to the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. I am God, and there's no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 and 10. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. How about Acts 2:23. This man was handed over to you by God, set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. This Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. Since God is a God who does all things according to the plan, it benefits us to approach the most important things of life with forethought and plan, not haphazardly. The planning of Jesus. Jesus had a mission to accomplish, and he finished it with forethought and planning. When his mother urged him to do a miracle at the wedding in Cana, he said, "My hour is not yet come." There was a plan and appointed hour for the revelation of his power. He would stay with the plan. Luke 9:51 says, "When the days grow near for him to receive up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem." He knew that the plan meant death in Jerusalem, and he didn't shrink back from the plan. But he was driven against his will. The Father's plan was his plan. He said in John chapter 10, verse 18, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Jesus' death and resurrection as part of God's plan for the salvation of the world. In conclusion, very specifically, my plea to you this new year is that you take time to plan the most important thing in your life. Plan how are you going to spend time with your spouse, your family, to deepen and strengthen the relationship. Plan how are you going to spend time teaching your children. Plan how you are going to get the amount of exercise you need to stay healthy. Plan how you are going to get enough sleep. Plan how you should eat and how are you going to limit yourself. Plan your vacation so that it really gives you rest and a spiritual renewal. And most important, plan how prayer and meditation and the Word are going to be a significant part of your life. Without a plan, these most important things always get pushed aside. But urgent pressures. Make planning a regular part of your life. But it won't work just to plan something tonight or tomorrow. Planning must be a regular part of life. So my plea to you is that you set aside time each week to plan, especially to plan your life of prayer and Bible study. For example, since tomorrow is the last Sunday of the year, and Sunday is the beginning of the week. Make that checklist of planning. Spend time to make that planning. But most of all, give some thought how God might want you to use you that week in a special way. Plan the letters you need to write, the Bible verses you may want to teach your children, the visit you want to make, the book you want to read, the neighbor you want to talk to, and etc. The Proverbs tell us to plan. The greatest missionary who ever lived was a planner. God is a God who does all things according to plan. And Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem because of the most loving plan ever devised. This is how we should look forward. In closing, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13 and 14 said, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and is straining toward what is ahead." I wanna please underline that. He says, forgetting whatever now what didn't work 2017, put that aside, and he said, forgetting what is behind and is straining toward what is ahead. What is ahead that you're looking for 2018? I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Press on toward receiving the prize that God wants you. The thought that God wants us to strain toward what is ahead is hard to learn, isn't it? It's hard to learn. We all tend to think differently, but God intends to make it clear that instead of being a reluctant Jonah, he wants us to take the path of at least resistance to him. God will lead us toward the goal and its prize, and it seems clear from this, his word, that he wants us to forget the past and get on with the future. He planned for our joy. We ought to plan for his glory. May God bless you all. I have sang this last month, but I want to share this song again with you today. It's a prayer that we all must be, where God is still near to us. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer, we are your children, and we gather here today. We gather here to pray. Hear our cry, Lord, we need your mercy, and we need your grace today. Hear us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, hear us from heaven, forgive our sins, we pray. hear a song as it rises to heaven. May your glory fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. See our hearts and remove anything that is standing in the way of coming to you today. Our Father, hear us from heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Our Father, hear us from heaven. Forgive our sins, we pray. And though we are few, we're surrounded by many. We have crossed that river before. And this is the song that we'll be singing forever. Holy is the Lord, holy is the Lord, holy is the Lord, holy is the Lord, holy is the Lord. Please stand as we sing our closing song. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about that name that we look forward for this coming year. Father, thank you so much for the abundant blessing that we had learned from 2017. That as we forego for 2018, may we be more fired for you, that we'll follow thee wherever you may lead us. Though may thorny pathway we may go, will we still follow thee. Thank you so much, Father, for that special name about Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, for where we fail you. May this plan that we have, that you had bestowed upon us, may be a blessing to those, our family, but more so to those that we don't know. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.